Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 41. Our guest is Uzair Hassan, founder of Esports How. In this podcast, I interview Uzair and discover the reasons why he started his company, Esports How. You'll learn that he has been working on the company since he was in high school and saw the need for educational resources teaching those motivated to pursue and host tournaments. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, it's Trent Knox with the Esports Business Network podcast. We're here with the guest, Uzair Kelfish for Hassan of Esports How. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited.
I'm excited as well. I discovered you and your platform and the community that you're building. I believe on Reddit, on /esports on Reddit, you were active in the chat rooms there. And it made me curious to see and intrigued to see what you're doing in esports on the competitive side and gaming consulting and different things. So before we dive into esports, how let's introduce you to my community and the audience of the podcast. How did Uzair become Kelfish, or simply, like, when did you first get into video gaming?
Yeah, 100%. So actually, in high school, I've really never had a good computer up until that point, because I was in a regional program called SciTech, which was specializing in science and technology. And one of our classes told us that we required a good laptop to be in that class, although we only used that laptop once and for an application that barely required anything. But that aside, I got the laptop, and once I did, one of my friends kept telling me about this game, League of Legends. And at first, I was hesitant because, you know, it sounded a bit weird. I saw him playing once or twice, and I wasn't sure what it was. But once I got on, I instantly got hooked. And really, from there, like, that game really shaped my career and how I went forward with esports and just business as a whole.
League of Legends, Riot, man, a little bit after my time. I don't think I was into World of Warcraft. Blizzard was massive during when I was in high school and in middle school. Riot really came onto the scene a little bit after, you know, my time in high school and whatnot. But interesting, you know, they really pioneered the way for free to play. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that business model really, really worked out for them. Free to play, especially with Dota 2 and or competing with Dota 2 and Blizzard at the time. They started out, I believe, in 2008, so that would be beyond your time. But yeah, they really owned that business model. And from there, you know, like, it really is shaping how every game is played now, because that is the way to play. The lower the barrier of entry, the better for the publisher, it seems like.
Yeah. When did they first see their, like, real success? Like 2010?
It's hard to say, but it was really early on when they started up, and it was largely because of the low barrier of entry, just being free to play. I believe in their documentary, they mentioned it, how they really were able to blow up due to that element. And in addition to, obviously, their very popular LCS, and once that started to, you know, garner some eyeballs the next following years around 2013. And they really, this really had success through, I would say, a lot of smart business moves on their end and how they really shaped, you know, the gaming scene. A lot of it because they how much they love the game and how much they love playing it.
Yeah, I see old photos and I watched a documentary on Riot for League of Legends, and I see the old photos of them just really grassroots sitting it with the conventions and going to LAN centers and holding you know, socials and things like that to get people to be competitive in the game. So it's interesting, you know, watching them build such a successful esport, and it's good because it built you where you're at today within esports. And question for you is, you grew up in Canada, you grew up in Toronto. What was the community like? And did you find yourself like playing offline, or were you like an online competitive player?
So that's a good question. So I'm actually right beside Toronto. So I'm in a city called Brampton. And Toronto, although it is a hotspot for esports, it hasn't, at that time, didn't really trickle out throughout the GTA, which is the greater Toronto area where I'm located. So I really didn't get to see much of esports up to that point. But I was one of the earlier people as far in Toronto. Besides, there's some organizations already established. There's smaller grassroots organizations to host events. But I believe in 2017 or 2016, somewhere around there, I ended up hosting a few of my own in downtown Toronto. But for me personally, as far as playing it goes, I really played more so competitive online for the longest time until I started, before hosting my own event, going to check out some of the other ones in downtown Toronto. And that's when I was able to actually experience the esport culture and get a grasp of, you know, how these guys are hosting their events for myself to later possibly start to incorporate a business idea that I had to run more esport tournaments in our general area.
That's awesome. This podcast is definitely going to be historical time capsule for someone who's, you know, 2040 or, you know, 3000 or whatever, that they'll look back at this and think, wow, times were so much different. You know, the establishment, getting the train, getting the engines rolling with esports, was much different than who knows where they'll be. They might be living in a totally different virtual reality at that time, in those times. But so cool. So you had the vision to start your own tournaments. And what was like the process of starting that? What did you work with other esports entrepreneurs in the area, or how did you facilitate starting this tournament?
Yeah. So to kind of guide you through that, I'll take a step back. So right in high school, around, I believe it was grade 12 or grade 11 rather, in 20, it might be around 2016, when I actually started up an esport club within our school. And what the intention was with that club is that people would come in, and because we couldn't actually play esports at school because it was just not allowed, at least not League of Legends and anything on PC, we were going to watch people's replays in the club, which obviously very much failed because no one really wants to sit there during their lunch and watch replays. They'd much rather play the game. So what we ended up doing with that is that one of my friends suggested, why don't we just host a tournament and allow people to play within the club just as a side thing, just because we wanted, like within my friend group, wanted to host a tournament. From there, we ended up getting a lot of traction. Like, it was very, very surprising how much people wanted to play it, to the point where people with outside of our school wanted to play, even though we were kind of sanctioning it as a school club. So it became very evident at that point that people wanted tournaments, especially in my city, right around the GTA. And yeah, that's, we, from there, we ended up hosting several online tournaments, mostly by myself. But that was, frankly, because of my naivety as far as how tournaments being hosted, there is several hiccups. One very evidently that I mentioned a lot on my website is, you know, we did tournaments on paint.exe and we were like manually making the brackets and dragging and dropping. But I was able to be very fortunate to get connected with some people in the downtown Toronto. The Toronto, Toronto Commence was one of them, one of the guys that really influenced how I went doing tournaments moving forward, because he actually allowed me to come through their live tournaments that really at the time I think was making majority of his income. So I was able to see, you know, what their process was, what their financial process was. He showed me his backend systems. I got to see a little bit of Battlefy at the time when I didn't know what Battlefy was. And from there, it really helped me to understand where to go forward. And just the mentors within my life, within the esport industry, helped me to guide, you know, what my next five moves are going to be within the industry as a whole.
That's really cool. So when you, how did you come up with the idea? And did you have like, did you create a name for the event? Did you call it like the Showdown, or like, what was the creative process behind starting the tournament?
Yeah. So, like, in all honesty, the reason why we started a tournament was because we wanted to play in a tournament. And, you know, we wanted more people to play in the tournament with us. So that's what ended up starting it up. And from there, we ran several online tournaments. At first, the names were really bland. So it was like, you know, League of Legends, 1v1, High School 1, High School 2. And then some of our more live events, we had more unique names. So one of our bigger ones that we rented a venue in downtown Toronto, it was called the Open Toronto Championships. And those names were very much just kind of there. Like, they didn't really have much substance to them. But it was the experience to be able to, like, go all the way from an online small event from a high school to actually renting out a physical venue, getting people to pay in, come to the venue and actually play for like 8 hours or so. It was, that experience was definitely something, especially being a high school student, very eye-opening, and like, it very much solidified the idea of esports within my head, especially at a time where I really didn't know what esports was.
Yeah. I mean, esports seems to continue to astonish me as well. I am always wondering what it is, because it is so many different things, especially with like the meta that's going on right now with wagering and gambling and that being like the dominant content being created around esports right now, mm-hmm. especially with policy and everything getting kind of worked around on a governance level. When was the transition? Did you have a transition, or are you still working in the high school space?
I guess moving forward with these tournaments, I wanted to incorporate a business to host. It was actually going to be a nonprofit, because one of my mentors at the time was someone that did a lot of work on the nonprofit scene. And I told him about my esports experience, and we were trying to shift that together to work on a nonprofit that brings technologies to impoverished locations and bring esports events there, leveraging revenue that we make through other sources. But that ended up falling through due to several different situations, a lot of it being inexperience that held the issues with that. But from there, we ended up, I ended up finding the first ever post-secondary business esports program in North America at Lambton College. So I ended up enrolling in that, which is the program I'm currently enrolled in right now. And from there, I've been working on several different business ideas, but that's what led me to Esport How, which is formerly an esport and gaming consultancy that started up by our blogs on esporthow.com, which was just simply intended for people like me that didn't know how to run tournaments, like how to run tournaments. It ended up becoming something that business owners ended up finding. And then I got several emails saying, hey, you know, we want to run tournaments too. I don't know where to start. Can I pay you to run our tournaments? And then that's where the consultancy work started to come into. Now, as I continue to build out my blogs, I've been getting a lot of emails, especially from our target demographic, who are, you know, actual gamers, people that want to get into the esports scene, and, you know, trying to understand, how do I learn to run these tournaments? How do I get a job in esports? How do I get paid in esports? You know, and that's something we're at Esport How currently really focusing on, is how can we serve those type of individuals that honestly the general esports scene kind of ignores, because obviously all the money is kind of in the top tier level work, but no one really looks at the grassroots scene too much, at least, and kind of helps them build out.
Yeah, for the investors salivating right now, I guess the question is how do you make money in esports and tournaments? What are the different avenues? What is F&B? How does that food and beverage contribute to what you're doing? Ticket sales. Like, talk about making money in tournaments and esports.
Yeah, so I work with a lot of grassroots level guys in esports, from the tournament organizing standpoint to the team standpoint to different services. And I've discussed a lot of different ideas with different people. Generally, tournaments, I'm tournament organizing services, I'm usually hesitant towards. I recommend them to, you know, be very cognizant about entering the scene and trying to make revenue here, primarily because they don't have the rights of their games. I've interned in a lot of different organizations that have been, you know, troubled by those different, you know, scenes. One example would be the High School Esports League, where I believe it was last year or a year before that when they lost their right to use League of Legends as a game because PlayVS bought out the rights. And a lot of these grassroots organizations that are trying to start up and be profitable, they're depending on one game. So there might be like your local Smash community that's trying to go profitable. You know, once they lose, if they can't hold on to those rights from Nintendo to keep that game up, it becomes a very big liability for them, especially if they're invested, you know, their own assets and capital to build up that local scene and build up their own assets. So that's something I've continuously, you know, been a bit hesitant on, although it's definitely something that needs to be further garnered on a local standpoint, is relationships as far as tournaments go. But just building money as a whole, if like it within esports, it's very evident that sponsorship is where the money's at. That's something a lot of people do struggle with. And that's actually a big part of what I've been kind of helping people with, at least early on. We've even ran a workshop on how to get sponsorships, the way to you know, approach them, because a lot of the people that are trying to start up stuff in esports aren't very corporate, where they don't understand, you know, certain procedures and communication. Most of them are just trying to find like their main customer service email and reaching out saying, hey, can you sponsor our stuff, without really selling themselves or using, you know, proper principles, having a good pitch deck. So if money is what you're looking at, obviously knowing what your strengths are and values are, but really looking at what you can sell yourself to a sponsor, because it makes up overall in the esport industry about 56% of the revenue, but I'd argue 80% of more of the grassroots scene, their revenue would come from sponsorship as well.
That is pretty scary, I think, to people who are just like, that love the game, want to make money in the game, don't understand business, that the financial benefit from benefiting from this industry is having audience and selling that audience to an advertiser who's willing to do a marketing spend on your team or your tournament or in some way, you know, funding your merchandise and apparel, whatever it may be, to grow your brand. The youth are definitely driving this industry forward with content and hosting tournaments and playing new games. But do you find that, have you found that there's a different avenue for, you mentioned this a little bit about businesses reaching out for nostalgic tournaments and tournaments that are incorporate like corporate competitive things like Intel versus IBM corporate, like staff or something like that, like internal event services for like corporate events?
Yeah, it's definitely something that can be considered. I would just be hesitant on the fact of your consistency with these projects. Like, how much are you looking at from a revenue standpoint? What would be the overhead? What kind of conditions would both companies would have to entail in order to execute this? What's that barrier of entry looking like? What is the credibility for you? And how can you justify the, you know, cost for these organizations to end up coming together and in getting themselves involved within, you know, this endeavor? I think the esport industry is full of different opportunities. I've actually struggled with, you know, grasping which opportunity I want to, you know, select and kind of double down on. There's just so many different opportunities, from digital tools to different services. One example I can give that's very, very evident, that I think a lot of people, or there is a lot of people already doing this, but there's a lot more room for people, even inexperienced individuals, to kind of get into, is these bigger companies trying to get esports within their own, you know, establishments, be it a nonprofit, a community-based organization, that are trying to engage people, which would previously use sports, are now trying to look at esports. I've gotten contacted by several different local communities that want to try to do that. I just don't have the time to service them. The other organizations are trying to look to bring esports within their physical location to attract people that typically would just spend their time online, shop online, would end up actually physically coming to their location. One example of which is an organization I was working with while I was working with Lazarus Esports was Sorry, I'm just trying to, I might actually not have disclosure to be, or I might not have permission to disclose this just yet, but there's different organizations that are looking to bring in the organization or esports within their facility. But sorry, that aside, there's just well, so many
in short, options. In short, like what you're saying, in short, what you're saying is that retail suppliers, like, you know, malls and things like that, are looking at esports as a magnet for business. They're looking at it as an attraction to bring into a retail space.
Yeah, 100%. And there's so many more opportunities, even beyond what's very obvious. Another idea that someone ran across by me was mobile esports at, you know, shopping locations, where now you don't even need the physical technology. If, you know, you had PUBG Mobile running in a local, you know, shopping store, now you have an incentive for people to physically come by. And now you don't even have the overhead of maintaining and getting this technology. There's so many different ways to go about it.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. That's something I haven't thought about at all. Is like, what geo-fencing technology could be used similar to like Pokemon Go and PokeFest and all these things, where it brings people together, but they need to be in that location to benefit from maybe a PUBG Mobile tournament where you have to log in and it uses API to connect to your PUBG Mobile account. And since you're in that area, you're able to participate in the tournament. You might go buy a pack sun and pick up a pair of shorts, or you might pass, you know, a fine jewelry store and pick up something for your mom for Mother's Day. Just a shout out to those mothers. Mother's Day is coming up. And remind everyone, take care of your mother. She's the one who got you here. But yeah, I mean, esports, let's talk about esports how then. So you mentioned like sort of how the idea came to fruition from thinking about how to teach people how to create tournaments. You said that it's transitioned into something else with the consulting and providing services. I've seen that you've got community going on. So what's the roadmap for esports how, and what are you aiming to accomplish?
Yeah. So currently esports how, it's been taking a few, you know, turns just with the different opportunities that we've kind of been presented and, you know, figuring out where we want to go with it. What I want to stay true to the reason we started it up, and that's to help people that want to try to get into the esports scene or transition their current, you know, career into esports, however, be it through, you know, starting up a new company or increasing their skills and understanding the esports scene to hopefully get into an esports organization, be it a publisher, a team, or a tournament organizing service, to help them actually understand the scene and move forward with the scene. So something we're looking at right now is, obviously, like you mentioned, we have that community where we currently are experimenting with a mastermind group with some individuals that are starting up an entrepreneur endeavor and creating a support system there. And that has been very successful for the people so far that are currently in that group and building out ideas and determining, you know, what's their next steps there. We're also considering building out some information products. The initial one would probably easily be how to run an esports tournament, something created specifically for individuals that are interested in, you know, very introductory level information and how to go from there. And we might even make an advanced course, although that would, you know, more likely than not require a few other individuals that have different backgrounds in the scene to build that out. But just building out different services for people that are at the grassroots scene to take it to the next level. That's really what esports how is focusing on and what we really want to cater to.
So what is the onboarding process that you have for somebody who's looking to just get started into esports, and like, tell me what their experience would look like as they go through your process?
Yeah. So it would depend on where they're really starting out from. One thing that we're actually currently working on right now, myself personally, is a book called How to Get a Job in Esports. That's something that hopefully will be completed by the end of next month, but we still have a bit of work to get done there. But for in that book, for example, we really go through the process of, you know, what's your job, looking at what the job that you are currently wanting to get, you know, what's the actual requirements within there. So with the process we kind of go through is first, even when you have an interested, you know, career path, you would actually kind of look through the job posting that's there, and we kind of dissect how that, you know, how that process is. We have a few people from HR that are kind of providing the information and how to dissect that. And from really from that book, it kind of goes through the simplest ways and the best ways from different individuals, because we have about a dozen or so people that kind of contributed as far as their personal story and how they got into esports, and really building out that process of understanding what these people have done to land themselves in the industry. And the reason why we kind of went down this route was because I'm personally in the first ever post-secondary business esports program in North America. And something that I've noticed, and with myself as well, as the anxiety as far as how can you really land a job in esports. It's not that many jobs. It's significantly difficult. How can you guarantee yourself a spot where you're confident leaving out of this program, or just generally speaking, to land a job in esports? So going through, you know, asking a number of different people and going through my own process to now doing consulting work, I've been able to really bridge down a process that makes the most sense. And through that, we have that compiled in the book. And with as far as different services go, we have different educational programs that we're currently building out, very, you know, grassroots as far as the information for like how to run a tournament, how to land sponsors, to help enhance skills that you might already be able to gain by yourself throughout this process. But that book, in all honesty, could really be your end all be all as far as the content, with additional programs being to help you enhance what you're currently doing or to fast track some things that we kind of go through in the book.
Mm. You mentioned that it's difficult to get a job in esports, and that's rephrasing what you're saying, but what I've found is that in any form of entertainment, music, fashion, art, film, whatever form of entertainment that someone is trying to enter in and pursue a career as, the difficulty that people face is maximizing their exposure to opportunity, which means like discovering like those options. And I feel esports has a few different platforms that kind of cater to this like job board or bulletin similar to Indeed or like LinkedIn or something like that to offer some opportunities. But the larger career opportunities, whether at a tier one org or a tier two org that could afford bringing on an employee or even a contractor, it's hard to discover those opportunities for a lot of individuals. I personally the thing with our website that I preach the most is mindset, and having the vision to pursue the opportunity. But there's also the flip side to that of being the magnet for that opportunity, which I think is like what people learn through your programs, is by acquiring the skills, maybe if they're going through esports, how you can start to draw in, or at least create the attraction or the attention to you through your participation, maybe through social media or through like you mentioned, email and different things. So what is it that you think what skills do career transitioning young individuals need to develop in order to be successful in the industry?
I would say the biggest skill by far would be sales. Easily selling yourself to other employers, selling different products, selling services. Like, if you really think about it foundationally, what's the main source of revenue in esports? It's sales, it's sponsorship. And what is sponsorship? Sponsorship is just selling yourself, your own product and services, your own viewership to a prospective sponsor, and really to sell them the activation opportunity that you can kind of provide them. Same thing goes to even digital media rights. Everything within esports, really at a glance, is sales. But for people that are trying to really transition their own skills into, the esports industry, it's going to come down to selling yourselves to prospective employers. The biggest and greatest way I've seen people actually land a job in esports has been through networking, and that entails selling yourself during these events as a good possible employee to work at these different organizations. So I would say, selling yourself and just sales skills in general is very, very valuable within the esports space. Network and communication skills to be able to, go to these different events, communicate well and strongly. I think that's very, very important as well. And just, like you said, mindset, I 100% agree there. And also just the dedication to really be willing to go through some of this these introductory learning experiences to help, build out your experience to kind of figure out, how you can at least hit the benchmarks that they require of you to show that you're actually interested in esports by doing some of this grassroots level work.
Yeah. And the audience, at least for this podcast, is younger. There's a demographic of younger individuals, 18 plus, I think the bulk of this audience, from what I've seen statistics on the podcast stats, is like in the middle, maybe had just graduated college, and is like, maybe they participated in collegiate esports, maybe they didn't. They see esports as an avenue of entertainment that they might want to work in. They play video games. Maybe they weren't players. It's a variety of, it's a variety of different starting points. And so when you mention sales, a lot of kids that, didn't support their college, their lifestyle through college, through working a job at Domino's or working at the local convenience store, they didn't develop those sales skills. Do you suggest that they go find a sales program outside of esports before they get into the industry so that they can compete with those veterans who've been, maybe working in traditional sports or traditional entertainment so that they can, at least have a viable chance to getting an opportunity at maybe a tier one or tier two organization?
It would depend on exactly their interests in terms of the job they want. So if they specifically want a job in sponsorship or actually sales, then there would have to be a lot of research on their end to possibly get into these programs or even a college program to really enhance your sales ability. But if your objective is simply to land a job and it's with a different job opportunity that they have skills in, I wouldn't say you necessarily have to build up those skills to a point that it's really top tier where you might have to really pay into a different program to build up these skills, although it might be very beneficial and it might help you throughout your career. And I think at some point of your career, you definitely really want to build up your sales skills, because sales is really, in my opinion, almost everything as far as any transaction, any negotiation. But as far as landing your first job, there's a lot of good information just even online on YouTube, in simple books that can help you really understand what are some basic things you can do to better sell yourself? Like not being afraid to talk about yourself, talk about your accomplishments, actually having metrics, being able to back up your own, you know, experiences with numbers to say, you know, I've done this. Although it's definitely harder for someone in an element or entry level position. If you're able to say, I've run a tournament for, you know, 200 people over, you know, 3 days, renting out our own venue, costing us XYZ dollars, like having that can really blow away someone. For an employer, if you're really young and really new to the industry, it shows a lot of potential there. And not like just really basic level skills, something you can develop by practicing with your friends and just looking online and just understanding these basic principles, I would say is sufficient for anyone trying to get an entry level position.
Yeah, it's tough because if you're someone who's living in a market that doesn't have a lot of opportunity and is watching online and thinks, oh, there's got to be a successful team in my city, my town, and you just can't find it, you know, there's always the opportunity to go to somewhere like Toronto or go to somewhere like LA or New York and pursue your passion and your dream. My question for you, since esports how kind of had it came to be through tournaments, what is it that, I mean, there's not a lot of programs out there. Maybe your program is one of those that can teach the fundamentals for operations. And I know you're also in a post-secondary course. Are you getting that sort of education through through Lambda School?
Yes. So as far as like building up these technical skills for tournament organizing, what most people end up doing is through sheer experience. A lot of these individuals are joining high school clubs, people that might already have a bit of experience as far as organizing tournaments and going through it themselves. That has evidently been a very, you know, successful way to go about it, because like hosting tournaments isn't an exceptionally complex skill. It takes a bit of getting your head wrapped around it, but once you kind of get the fundamentals, scaling it up from there isn't much more difficult. The event organizing side is a lot more work and a lot more, you can be a lot more tactful there, but organizing tournaments in of itself isn't as hard. It just takes some time to understand what's out there as, you know, tools and to go through it a few times to kind of get your head around it. But currently what I'm working on within our organization is to build a course to help people that want to get an introductory level, you know, experience of hosting tournaments and kind of showcasing actual assets to kind of avoid, you know, the headache of running a few tournaments that don't do too well and kind of learning the things, fast tracking what I spent like my past 4 years of my kind of tournament organizing career, kind of get to learn just instantly, because I think it's just exceptionally beneficial. At Lambton College, the program that I'm currently in right now actually does, you know, talk about tournament organizing and going through the operations and talking about scaling up. It kind of does go through all this, but a lot of it is also within the program to learn on your own. So they throw you through, I think, 3 different main tournaments. We start off with a smaller individual tournament, about 10 to 15 people. Then we do a bigger one between 2 different colleges, and that has about, I believe, 100 players. And then the end of the first year, we have the largest tournament, which is several, I would say 200 to 300 players participating in there. And the your team size is always increasing. So you're learning operations there. You're learning how sponsorship works. And they scale it up slowly from there. So it's been a fairly good program as far as, you know, learning tournament organizing goes. But a lot of there as well is also based on trial and error and letting you firsthand do, you know, these activities to kind of learn how it goes.
Since you're building a platform and you have a community, you know, and you've taken a number of different programs to increase your skill set, and you mentioned it earlier that one of the most valuable things to build is your network. How do you create and start building your network if, you know, you just I mean, friends aren't your network. I mean, they could be. Friends could be your network, but they're generally not when it comes to business. Comes to business, you want to establish more financial relationships that grow your opportunities and the things that you can accomplish. Friends can sometimes sometimes friends limit it to your growth to like, how can we spend this weekend partying in Ibiza or something, you know, more along that lines. But so how do you build your professional network?
Yeah. So I would say the easiest way probably to build up your network would be going through networking events. COVID has been great for this because a lot of these networking events traditionally that would be local are now going online. So you can really go to any of these events globally as long as you can find it and finance for it. But those have been, you know, very successful for myself as well, just because when you're going to these events, their objective there is to build their network, is to learn from people. I've gotten different volunteering opportunities, different job opportunities, I got in consulting work through these networking events just by talking about myself. And it doesn't have to be limited to esports specific events, although those ideally would work the best, especially if you're looking at different avenues of esports, especially legal, if you're looking at financial and you're trying to get your head grasped around that, especially if you're starting a business and trying to understand, you know, what services you can contract. But also if you're looking to get a job in esports, going to these different organizations and really selling yourself at these networking events work really, really well. Another tool that is, you know, unfortunately not as leveraged by students until they graduate really is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is just, you know, exceptionally powerful for networking, to getting to learn, you know, about people and getting to get into conversations with people. And like, obviously you get to see where people are actually working on, so you can target the individuals in a company that you're interested in and able to just, you know, reach out from there. And I know people that have both gotten jobs from LinkedIn within esports and networking events. And one individual that comes to mind, someone that is currently in Denmark, one of my colleagues, she actually ended up getting her job without any education within esports and working in one of the biggest esports teams now. Just because she went to a networking event and she told one of the individuals there that she enjoys esports, not even that she was necessarily looking for a job. She just told herself, sold herself good enough where she got an internship, which she later, you know, did exceptionally well, which turned into a full-time job for her. And now she's getting the education she needs. So like, networking is exceptionally important, especially in this industry, but it's not too hard as long as you're using the right avenues.
Absolutely. And there's just all those different platforms that you mentioned. What about content marketing? You know, do you advise people who are starting out to create content, or is there a situation in which you would say you advise them not to create content and not be too public or like putting out too much information?
Are you talking specifically about someone looking to get a job in esports that are putting content about themselves? So with that, I think it's a very good idea. It's something I've seen, especially in the computer science, you know, scene, because that's something that's very popular there, is blogging about your career and your own information, which allows you to sell yourself further to these employers. And that's actually part of which why Esport How even began. It was because I wanted to build a portfolio that would help me stand out to different employers, that when I go to a job interview, say, hey, I also run Esport How, which, you know, shows information about how to run tournaments. This is something I'm very passionate about. So like, and that gives them a lot of information. It shows discipline. It shows that you're willing to put in the work and you actually are really invested in the scene. To answer your question, I think it's a very strategic move, a very smart move. Anything that can kind of get you outside of what people are currently doing and puts you ahead of others is a move you want to make. And putting out information, either it be YouTube video or blogging, it seems to work in other industries. And for me personally, I've gotten consulting work directly through Esport How. The only reason Esport How turned into a consultancy at one point, and why we do consulting work, is because of the website and the content. Where instead of me selling this to employers, now employers are finding this website, and now I'm already selling myself to them, where now they want me to work for them directly due to this information. So I think if you're going to do it, just start it. Don't be too worried about, you know, about what people might say or if it might be successful, because worst case, if people aren't finding it themselves, if you're going to go to a job interview and say, you know, I've been running this YouTube channel about how to sell sponsorships in esports, and you're going to a job interview for this opportunity, and they check up on it and see they like your information, you're already putting yourself way ahead of the competition, and you're in such a good position to hopefully land the job, assuming the information on that platform is correct and viable.
Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. Before you leave and before we sign off on this podcast, I want to give you the opportunity to let the listeners know how they can get connected with you and start building their presence on your platform.
Yeah, totally. If you're interested in reaching out to me personally, be sure to come to esporthow.com. You'll see our Discord join link is there as well. You can also email me directly. On the Discord, we do different events, such as we have a mastermind group running right now. We do different workshops. We also have a networking night that comes every few months, and we're hoping to build that out further. So I really appreciate this opportunity. It was a lot of fun, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. Again, Uzer Kelfish for Hassan of Esports How. Thank you for listening.
Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.